Yeah, I think we can line scene report it down there a bit so we can get started. I guess, as I indicated, this purpose of this call is for questions than for me to chit-chat. So probably the best way to start the call then is to just open the floor for questions. And we can take it from there, and probably, you know, as questions are asked and answered or discussed, whatever, then be for the benefit of all and hopefully clarify anything up that anyone's not clear on.
Okay, Vic, it's letter was received on the 16th or went into the mail. Have you had any response to that particular correspondence?
It was received on the 16th. Yeah, it was delivered on the 16th.
Delivered,
yeah. Yep,
and you gave them 10 days. Has there been a response?
Well, we didn't give them 10 days. We asked for a response in 10 days, and no, there has been no response as of yet.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so if there's any questions now, we're putting the floor open now for questions. I think that's the best way to start the meeting. So certainly some of you have questions, so get them out.
Hi, Vic. This is Claude Lapointe from Sutton, Quebec.
How are you?
Good, thanks. And you?
Great.
I have a question regarding Quebec's birth certificate. That is, as you, the email you sent today, different than any other provinces. And I'm trying to figure out how to apply everything to what you said so far in regards of how do we link the name on the birth certificate, which is quite different than in Ontario, which is it has name, first name, last name. You've got four first names, and you have a number, certificate number, but there's no registration number. Now, when signing, as you mentioned earlier, never sign your name. Always sign per four or agent four. How do we do that with the way this birth certificate is done in Quebec?
Well, it's a very good question. It's just one I've only got really involved in the last day or so. Because one gentleman out in Quebec there, I don't know if he's on the call or not, but he's been asking similar questions and doing some looking himself. Now, my understanding, and I'm not real versed on the Quebec Civil Code, but I think it's Section 55 or 56 or 54 or something like that, and I'm not sure if there's different books which book that's in, but in any case, it deals with, it says there that if business is done in a name other than your own name, you're responsible for the damages, blah, 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 blah. You're liable for the damages. So I'm not saying that this is the case, but what I'm suspecting in Quebec is when they're saying your name, they're referring to the one on the birth certificate. I don't think they're saying they're implying that it's your name of your head. It's the name given to you on their certificate that they recognize as your name. And all in communicating with this other gentleman in Quebec, it appears that all documents there have names in all caps.
Correct.
And in fact, in one of the, in that same section there, if you read it properly, it's talking about do a business in a name other than a name appearing on that birth certificate. That's an assumed name. That's section 131 of the Bills of Exchange Act that I get. So I think what the Quebec law is saying to the people in Quebec is that our law, and just let me say this properly, is all of those names out there that are coming to you in the all capital letters names, those are trade slash assumed names, but you're not obligated to accept those names because your name is the one on the birth certificate, which is not at all like that. And so the birth certificate proves that all these other names are not your name. Whereas in the rest of Canada, it appears that it proves the name on the birth certificate is not your name. So it's almost an exact reverse. So again, let me repeat that. I think what the Quebec is saying is that your birth certificate proves that the name on the driver's license, the social insurance, the driver credit card, blah, 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 is not your name.
Yeah, Vic, I know from the reading the civil code is that it says, same area section, is that everyone in Quebec is assigned a name.
Uh-huh. And that would be the one in the birth certificate.
Yeah. That's your name.
That's the only one that the government could possibly have knowledge of.
Yeah. That's what they call it, an assigned name. That you're, I guess, that's the one you're authorized to use. And that would bind them. And the other ones are trade names.
Yep, I'm just going to pull it up here.
This is Rob here. And the trade names, if you sell them to the straw men, then you have nothing to do with it. You have no responsibility. It all goes back to the name on the birth certificate.
Yeah, but just hang on, Ralph. I just want to get over back to that email, Bill. Oh, here it is. Under Section 56 here in the Quebec, it says, a person who uses a name other than his or her own name, which would be the one, as this gentleman just pointed out, is the one that's been to you, that's recognized by the Quebec Civil Code as being the name that it's referring to as your name, I believe is what they're saying. And so if a person who uses a name other than his or her own name, meaning who uses a name or accepts or assumes a name slash trade name, that is just by definition not of the birth certificate, if you accept all those other names, then by virtue of you accepting and performing for it, you have now assumed all the liabilities and the damages that go along with it, which is the debts and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
So I think they're telling that, again, in Quebec, I believe what's going on there. And I'm not saying this is the case. I think it still requires more digging into. And again, I'm not going to do that, guys. I'll help you out a little bit there, but I got my focus on my own stuff here. And so we can work together on that to a certain degree. But I really think that what they're saying there is that the name on the birth certificate, because as I've seen, there's the name and then there's the first name, and it's all upper lower case. And none of the names out in the public are the same as on the birth certificate. So basically, certificate, in my view, proves those other names are not your name, and you do not have to accept those names. However, at the same time, you can't use the upper lowercase name on the contracts. And so it defaults back to the government because it's their rules. So that's what I'm thinking. You see, you could say to them, no, you have to put the name on that contract exactly as it appears on this birth certificate, and I bet you they're going to say, well, we can't do that. You say, well, here it says in the law, if you do that and I accept that name, then I'm responsible for it. See, so that's kind of what it's saying to me. So now you're at a quandary, and this is where I believe the government steps into, we can't make him pay for these things because the fact is people don't have money. That's, when you get down to the truth of this whole thing, people do to pay. And the government was never, the system was not structured on the basis that people were, do have the ability to pay.
Is there any problem if the birth certificate name is in upper and lower case?
I just finished telling you that the birth certificates from Quebec appear to have the name in upper and lower case.
They do.
Yeah, earlier Alberta ones have the two.
Keep this in mind.
And reverse, like the surname first and then comma and then the given names.
Let's keep one thing in mind here, that at no time is the name of the recipient of the birth certificate on the birth certificate of the recipient's head.
Right.
Okay,
right.
You need to keep that in mind. It's real simple. So no birth certificate in this country has the name of the head of the recipient of the birth certificate.
Yep.
Okay, and nor is your signature on the paperwork that gave rise to the existence of the name. So everyone just keep all that in mind here. Okay, so whatever name's on the birth certificate is not of you. That's all you need to know here, okay? That name is not of my head, so I don't care what it looks like. That name is not of my head.
So it appears that when a name is spelled in uppercase only, you get a bill or something, it refers to a trade name also, and if you sold that trade name back to the birth certificate name on... That shouldn't make any difference. The birth certificate is the owner of that, you know. So of course, the responsibility falls to the owner again.
Certainly, that's right. So
you can use that whatever upper uppercase, lowercase, upside down, as long as you stated that those freight names are sold back to the owner.
Well, that's not something that has to be done. I believe that's something you chose to do, and maybe some others have chose to do it, but it's not something that is necessary to do, in my view, so let's not make it come across like this is what something people should do. The thing is when you, another way to look at this is I think I put it, as I did put in an email today, as Lee brought to light there last week or so, was, is that when you present a birth certificate as identification, regardless of what change they make to that name in its form when it appears on an account, let's say, I think everyone, if they were to discuss it, would agree that it was intended that the name on the account, say, Victor Beck, was intended to be the name off the birth certificate, Beck Victor Robert. So what's the real intention of the parties is the point. And when you present a birth certificate that has a name on it, then clearly it is the intention that that's the name that goes on the account, but that's not necessarily the case. But behind the scenes, I don't see any problem saying this. Well, look, you guys saw the birth certificate, you saw the name on it, so let's just get one through straight here that, okay, this name is not done exactly as the way it is on the birth certificate, but we're all going to agree here that it is, for all intents and purposes, it is off the birth certificate. Now, who's going to say no to that?
Well, yeah, that makes sense, especially when the federal government does it for the SIN card.
Yeah, it's a derivative off the birth certificate.
Well, it's just don't call it a derivative, because technically it's not, because General Motors cannot have a derivative, but it you could say it's the intention of the parties that the name on the account is connected with the birth certificate. Because if someone says no, it's, and you say, well, what was the purpose of me showing you the birth certificate?
Well, General Motors can have a subsidiary.
I understand that, but it's also registered. And then there's principals and agents involved there, so
yeah.
It is now known. So there's subtle differences here. The main point, I think, in all of this is to get the name, and this is just, and I'm just sharing my mind here and my intentions, and that is to get the name on it on contracts exactly as appears on the birth certificate. Exactly means exactly. No variations whatsoever, and then to sign per.
Yeah, just to throw in a computer analogy, if you're not bang on character for character, it rejects it.
Well, exactly.
Okay, and see, so that's all you got to think of. You know?
That's right. It's the same in the Personal Property Security Act. Many people have done liens, and they've registered the name way different than it appears on documents attached to the property.
Yes.
So when they do a search under this name, it doesn't show up.
Yeah, but I say the accountability comes back to you to dictate what it is that you want. If they don't comply, then you make a stink.
But that's right. That's exactly right.
If you don't say something, then you're on the hook, fine by your tacit consent. So
absolutely, totally, right there.
Get a character for character, guys.
Yep. Including commas, whatever.
Yep.
And and if you do meet resistance and you do have to, to raise, as he said, do a little stink about it, just draw their attention to the certificate. It says right here, name, and so this is the name. It doesn't say first name, middle name, surname. It just says the name.
He'll be working tomorrow. Oh, yeah.
So put it down as name and leave it at that. And there's any purpose for anyone arguing that. You're just showing them the facts here, and you're just saying, look, it's in your interest to do it this way, because if you don't do it this way and you need to sue, I don't know who you're going to be suing. Well, you got a good point there, sir. I guess we should keep it exactly. We got accounts over there like General Motors, and if we put down Motors General, we're not going to be suing General Motors.
Yeah, there is only one General Motors.
That's right.
Regardless of the number of derivatives stemming from that, the foundation corporation is General Motors, so
yep.
Everybody knows that.
Yep, that's right. Another great point. So at the end of the day here, this, again, is, we covered it, the bulk of it in last week's call and then in the email since then, is that to get the name down properly and then indicate your capacity. Now, there seems to be a little discrepancy, and I'm just sharing this. I do not myself view it as a discrepancy. It's as long as you sign accordingly as agent or per or for Beck Victor, whatever, then you have made disclosure that you're not signing. So that right off the hop brings in the concept that, well, then there's another party involved here. which brings in the concept of a partnership, and which is, in my mind, is why I think I'm just going to be signing for the firm, because that then steers the eyes over to 1312 of the Bills of Exchange Act, which gives rise to the concept of a partnership. And then the next question, of course, is, well, who are the partners? Then the recipient only needs to know, well, first off, I have the authority to bind the partnership, but I'm actually not a partner in that I did not sign any documents of incorporation, blah, 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 or partnership or whatever, and Her Majesty is holds the title. The concept, and it's pretty much, Lee raised it today, and although I had it yesterday, and Lee raised it today, and that is, if you sign as agent for, he is of the opinion that then the laws against that are used against agents to keep agents in line might be used against you. However, in my view, given that the birth certificate is a license that came with no limitations, making you a general agent, I don't see that that's limiting in any way, shape, or form. And the fact that if you're a general agent, all the other agents that ever might approach you or ask you to do something or even demand something of you are going to be special agents, and they don't have the power that you do as a general agent. So I don't see any problem with signing agent four, because at the end of the day, in all cases, regardless of how you sign, you need to know why you did that, and you need to be able to steer them in the right direction if there's any, let's call it a challenge. And if there's a challenge, I'm just going to say something along the lines, well, I don't know what you're thinking there, but Her Majesty holds title in that information and that name there, not me. And that's the truth, and the proof is out there, and that's maybe as far as I'll go and leave it in his hands now to figure it out.
Well, this doesn't it mean that her is your signature for the strongman as an agent?
Sure, but I see you got to think here, Ralph. For example, let's say you own a business. As the owner of a business, you are also the agent for the business, i.e., as president.
Yeah.
So you're still an agent, so you sign as president, so people know that if there's an issue with the company, you're going to get the paperwork, not directed at you, but at the company, but you're going to receive it. So it's keeping you in the loop.
Yeah, if you say president, then you have given yourself a title, and that puts you back into the box again.
But that's just an agent, Ralph. An agent is an agent. Agent, president, secretary, that means agent. Treasurer, that means agent. The company being the principal. So you see, so it could be misunderstood. Oh, he's the owner of the business, and he's just signing in a representative capacity, so we're not suing him, we're suing his business. It, regardless, it has the effect of turning one into two. This is why I say at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, because if you're ever challenged, the only thing to add to the equation then is that they're missing is that Her Majesty holds title in that name. So even if they think you're the agent for your own business,
but if you have a business and it's registered, it doesn't belong to you.
If the agent is still thinking that you're the agent for your own business, then you still need to say, regardless, at the end of the day here, this is the only other thing you need to add to the equation, is Her Majesty holds title in that.
Yeah.
Or a representative of Her Majesty holds title in that. I don't have possession or control, and the thing is, this whole thing is about signatures, so when they go back to that incorporating document, your signature's not there. So I'm just, there's nothing we're talking about here that complicates anything. At the end of the day, you need to know why you do what you do, and if ever challenged, the answer is simple, and I'm just sharing my answer, and it may change when it comes time to actually doing it, if I have to do it. But you guys are thinking that I am the owner of this business or something. No, Her Majesty holds title in it. I am not a signatory to that, but I do have authority to bind the company, the firm.
Okay. What this comes down to, folks, this is Jack here. This is it's agency, and if you look up agency, it's a fiduciary relationship. And I'll give you examples of those. They're paired words. There's trustee, beneficiary, guardian, ward. Agent principal, And in this case, the agent, the principal isn't looking out for the agent. The agent is looking out for the principal. We've got the ability to look after the interests of the principal. And we've declared that to any third party that we're acting as agent on behalf of the principal. And if you've got any issues, you take it up to the principal.
That's right. Now just bear in mind here that the name on the contract, which is the name off the birth certificate, is the principal.
Correct.
So when saying take it up with the principal, they can't actually take it up with the principal. They have to go to the owner of the principal,
true.
Which at this moment they believe to be you.
Yeah.
Or that you are the principal. So it's like
we told them that earlier.
it's like you have a minister in government who then has a deputy minister. So the minister could instruct the deputy minister to do something and making the minister the principal and the deputy the agent, and then the deputy could delegate that authority to someone else, making the deputy the principal to the guy he delegates the authority to, who now becomes the agent. Just a passing the buck thing.
Sure.
So there, in one order given, there could be several principals and agents. The guy at the bottom of the totem pole is only an agent. The guy above him is a principal and an agent. He's the principal to the guy below him and an agent to the guy above him. And on up the ladder you go. And if anyone disputes that or has a problem with that, then get it on the table now. You know, you take a cop, he has a sergeant, he reports to a sergeant who reports to the next guy up, who reports to the commander, who reports to whoever. Up and down the chain of command they go. That's, each one of them is a principal, and each one of them is also an agent. The guy at the very top is the principal.
Over again.
In this case, Her Majesty.
Question.
Making everything and everyone else an agent. So in any case, there's no issue here. There's no complications with anything you're doing. It's just a thing you need to keep in mind here. The big factor, the closing statement, in my view, is the fact that Her Majesty, or pardon me, a representative of Her Majesty holds title in that name.
In the case of a minister, he is sworn in to serve Her Majesty.
Yeah.
So if he assumes the role of a principal, it only goes so far as he's responsible for his actions, but he's not responsible to pay any damages or.
Of course not. Of
whatever.
Course not. Of that, course
that
not.
That is going back to the government, which
of
is.
Of course
the,
not.
You know.
Of course not. But he as I say, let's suppose the minister delegates something to the deputy that he shouldn't do, and the deputy does what the minister said to do, but then the deputy gets in trouble. Well, then the obvious recourse for the deputy is to say, well, my principal, the minister, told me to do it. And so now everyone goes and talks to the minister. Well, you told him to do this. You see, so it's just a case of deflecting the liability, but at no point is the minister himself responsible for government liabilities. I mean, look at all the paperwork that these guys signed. They got their capacities very clearly stated. Division Registrar, Registrar General, you know, this and that and the other thing. Minister of, as long as they put that, you know, it's on the letterhead from the minister's office, then it's from him in his public capacity. If it's on his own letterhead, then it wouldn't have the minister stuff on there. It would be private situations. All I'm saying is there can be, unless anyone disputes this, there can be many principals and agents in a voyage. You know, a voyage has a beginning and has an ending, and an order to do something, you know, can come from the top down to the next guy, the next guy, the next guy, and each guy above is a principal, and each guy below is an agent.
Are you still looking at this as the partnership relationship? Are you in partnership with Her Majesty?
Oh, totally. Well, that's absolutely. That's how it's structured. We're in partnership with each other.
Okay,
ultimately.
But you know, in a partnership, each partner is individually and severally responsible.
That's right. Now,
so
as I just said, your signature is not on the partnership papers.
Okay.
Don't limit the word partnership. I mean, you and I could become partners and help someone get their car out of a ditch. So we partnered up together to get someone out of the ditch, but there's nothing in writing. We're not bound to each other. And the partnership here is Her Majesty's Enterprise Canada and all the representatives, and we are either with that or against that. In that sense, we are a partner, but we are not a legal partner. We have an equitable consideration. And so in that sense, we are a partner. We were given a license to find the firm. In that sense, we are a partner, but we are not bound by or to the firm.
Okay, how does this tie into the concept of thinking that, okay, I have evidence of the title through this birth certificate, but there was no consideration at the time when Her Majesty received the title. Therefore,
there was no consideration from you to receive the birth certificate, so it's all free so far.
Right, but the title. But Her Majesty did not give any consideration for receiving the principle of the title, the substance of the title.
I understand
she
that.
She did not pay any consideration for it. So therefore, she owes either your parent, or then you can stand in the place of your parent, since you are the substance of the contract, to demand whatever consideration should have passed that, or to nullify the contract, I guess.
Well, right off the hop here, I'm not sure who you are here, but first off, we're not about making any kind of demands at all. And secondly, there's nothing in evidence to prove, without incriminating myself, what registration of birth identifies me. It says right in the Vital Statistics Act that anyone may request any name out of the records of the Registrar General. They don't care which one you get. They just need you to have a name. And that the whole point is, at the end of the day, that the Registrar General is in possession or control of that foundation document, being the statement of birth. The birth certificate is an extract of that information. The government does retain legal title in the birth certificate. And because of us, we have an equitable interest. And now this birth certificate came as a form of power of attorney, and it did not come with any limitations. So it's not a case of making any demands. I mean, we used to look at it the way the gentleman just did, but that's, in my view, is going against the grain. I'm not saying it is, but it is in my view, and not going with the flow. So, yes, the parents gave the information freely, and the child receives the birth certificate freely. So now Her Majesty holds the title to the birth certificate so that you can go out there and acquire things freely, if you're doing it for Her Majesty who received the title freely. Now, if you want to go against that, then there's going to be a cost. In my view. Other questions, please?
Vic, it's Gay here.
Okay.
Hi. Did you touch on women using their maiden names? Should that be done for simplicity's sake?
I think it's for the women. I think I touched on in an email. You have a birth certificate. That's her business name. Remember what I said. It doesn't matter what name is on the bill or on the contract. It's the signature area.
Right, okay.
So, for example, just to answer the question here, a bill could be directed towards Gay, but Jack Victor's firm could accept and put itself on the hook.
Right.
Yeah, they don't care who pays, so to speak, for authorizing settlement.
Because you accept the bill for the firm, not for you.
Exactly, yes.
That's right. So in that sense, I don't see that it matters for anyone here because everyone has that original foundation document.
Yeah.
And you go back to that.
If you sign with Sue and your name on the birth certificate is Mary, doesn't make any difference. You are the agent.
That's right. So, you know, that would be the answer to that question, and just go back to that name right there. Everyone has their own, was given a business name or a name to do. So.
How do we change what's already in the past and in the present?
As I said, I don't see a need to. If, as you receive things right now, you can accept it in the firm name.
And
every time you do that, you're putting it in evidence, something Her Majesty holds title to.
You're ratifying it every time it happens.
I mean, every time you get a utility bill or whatever. Credit card bill.
That's right. That's right. Or you could do, as we talked about last call, which is to draft up a simple contract and sell all of the trade, just do a bill of sale, just a sale contract. It's sold to, the firm name, all of the following trade names for $1 and other considerations. So now all of those names are and you can assign, you can, with that sale goes, it can be on an as-is basis, includes all assets, liabilities, undertakings, obligations, securities, all of that.
Why not just go to the bank, open a business bank account in the firm name, and then once that's done, send notice to the Ministry of Government Services, let them know, hey, account's been opened in the firm name, going to be writing checks on it. If you got a problem with it, let me know.
There you go. Now someone's thinking. Thank you, Brent.
You're welcome. Thank you.
As far as procedure goes, advisable to go talk to a lawyer. Go in there and you negotiated a real estate. We need a lawyer now, right? So would you go in and talk to the lawyer about what's going to happen, or would you just sort of spring it on him?
I don't know. In my own case, that'll be happening very soon here. I'm just going to do what I do. I've already got the authority to do what I do.
You're just cutting a check.
Nope, I'm not cutting any checks.
Well, in the firm's name.
Nope.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Like, once you get the contract the way you want it,
I'm going to send it to the title holder.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going
to send the bill to the firm.
I'm going to send it to the owner of the firm.
Okay, I was going to ask that, if you send it somewhere or you just let their lawyers deal with it.
Well, I have to get it out of my hands. Obviously, the vendor's lawyer would get a copy. That doesn't mean he knows exactly what's going on. Maybe he does know what's going on, and I expect I'll be dropping him a very brief note once after I know that he has received the vendor's copy of the contract. And I will also send my copy off to whom I feel it should be sent to for performance. And all I'll be doing there is asking. And I won't be asking from my perspective. It'll be the firm doing the asking. So if the firm is going to the owner of the firm asking that the contract is performed upon, then obviously the owner of the firm knows that whatever is being done now in that name is being done for the firm that Her Majesty owns. In other words, now they know they're not. They know it. You're not doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
And doing things for yourself in this world is a belief system, because there is really no such thing. There is no self. It's just one in that sense. And so whatever you're doing here, contrary to what you might believe, we're actually doing it for each other. The question is just, what are we doing for each other? Good or, negative or positive energies. It's all going into the one collective consciousness that we're all part of. And so when one of us puts shit in there, we all get that shit. When one of us puts good in there, we all benefit from the good. That's your treasury. That's the treasures built up in heaven, and the treasures on earth is basically the mirror, the reflection, to use the word reflection to reflect, discussed today. It's just a mirror image or reflection of that. It's the same thing.
Just to change gears here for a second. This, of course, has been quite a learning process. We learn today may not be applicable tomorrow.
That's why everyone's on their own learning process here.
Exactly. Okay, case in point in the first question with regards to the bill of exchange and requesting that, that's probably out the window at this point, right?
Nope, that's up to the individual.
Okay, so that's still a valid avenue.
Well, that's up to you. I mean, I read the section of the Sale of Goods Act, and it says if the bill of exchange is not honored, the property does not pass to the buyer. No, I'm not the buyer, but I want to see that bill of exchange, because I have a responsibility to the buyer.
That's still in play then.
And to myself. Well, I'm not, it's up to you. Everything here is up to the individual. And just further too, and someone asked that today, or was suggesting today, that this whole surrender thing we're doing here is, now that we have this new knowledge, if you want to call it that, is not really that important, and that's totally not correct, because the surrender thing is still ongoing and will be ongoing.
It's the core, isn't it? It's the foundation.
Well, that's exactly right, and the thing is, it's the foundation of our intentions. We're letting go of the concept that we own things here, you see.
Right. Yeah, that's the root concept that we have to eliminate.
Oh, that's right, because without that concept, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. We'd still be talking about us or whatever, so very, very relevant and part of the equation here.
I can't remember who that was that mentioned about the bank account thing, but what about the implication if you do go down to open up that account in the firm name, like things such as, you know, they're going to want an address.
Yep.
So, do we give, you know, it's well, okay, the title holder is the province of Ontario. Okay, so the address is Ontario. You know, what street is that?
No. It's the business address, is wherever your ass is situated. It's a business address.
Your strawman is with you.
Oh, okay, so it's, all right, it's where I put my head down.
You can't separate them, because how are you ever going to be in the loop? You know, in the future, and this is why I'm sending contracts to the title holder, because I believe once I do that they will appoint a trustee, and that will be the address to send things to.
Yeah, because I wanted to ask about, you know, your concept before about getting no to the address where I do put my head to the pillow, because I don't want anything. I'm done with it.
I understand that, but if you're going to do business, again, you have a business there name to use, and you're going to have to be a part of the equation. And so until a trustee is appointed where an address, a different address is provided, should that be the case,
right,
they have to send stuff somewhere.
Right. So until all the commercial mail can be deflected to the other party who's going to take care of everything.
Oh, that's right. Right. Now, getting back to your bank situation, I'd like to carry on a bit of a conversation there. And this is just all hypothetical stuff, but let's deal with the facts in front of our face. And so you go and open up a bank account, and then the first thing is you say, I want the account open in the name exactly as it appears on this birth certificate.
Agreed.
Okay, so you nail them down on that, and you stick to that. And you say, look, if you put a different name on there and there's bad checks, I'm not responsible for them. So let's not waste our time. And just keep drawing their attention to the facts, which is right on the birth certificate, and that's the way you want the name to appear in the account, no other way. And if for you, those of you that have an upper lowercase birth certificate, the bank says, well, we can't do it in upper lowercase, you say, okay, that's fine, do it in all capital letters, but we're doing it on the basis that the name is off the birth certificate, period. Then you make it known. Then during the conversation, then you make it known also, and Her Majesty holds title in this name. So what do we do now? And remember, they're the experts. I would not get into the situation of explaining them to them what they have to do, because they're the experts. Let them do it.
You know, now the banker knows that the principal is the name on the birth certificate, and anything that comes back to the banker is going. To the treasury.
Well,
who's holding the title?
See, right off the bat there, someone just says going to the treasury. We don't know that stuff, so let's avoid words where we don't know, but it's not coming to you. It's not your responsibility. You said this. Her Majesty holds title in this name. That should be enough said. Okay? And remember, Her Majesty authorized the Bank Act.
Right.
And so you just have the conversation, but you're sticking there with the truth, and you're not going to fall over on it. But you don't need to be nasty either and get all screaming and yelling about it. Just be very honorable. You know, just it's people. It's yourself you're dealing with there. It's your illusion you created, so deal with it nicely.
Just a thought, if this bank account should be opened to the actual Bank of Canada, the mother of all banks.
Well, go ahead, go to Ottawa.
You know,
just one note. As an agent, my duty is to inform, not educate.
That's right.
Okay, so keep that in mind. You don't have to, all this knowledge that you've acquired over the years to get you to this point, to prove to anybody how smart you are. You're just a professional agent, and you want to deal with another professional agent, and your duty is to do a good job off the end of the can. That's it.
Yep.
Don't complicate it.
Exactly.
While we're on the banking, Would it not be possible to demand credit card from the bank in the name of the one on the birth certificate?
So why are you making demands already? You haven't even got the account open yet. Maybe when you open up the account, certain things will happen. So why don't you just go one step at a time here and forget this demand crap? We'll get the truth on the table and see what happens. And just, look, Her Majesty holds title in this account. What? Not me. So what do we do here? How do you flag the account? I'm going to be writing checks under the authority of this certificate here, Her Majesty, but I'm not responsible. Yeah, Vic.
How many days do you need to figure this out? Hello?
Yeah, I talked to a bank. I guess it was on Monday about this thing. I said I wanted to change the name on my account exactly like it is on the birth certificate. And he said he couldn't do it. It's an upper lowercase Quebec certificate. Said he couldn't do it, but there is an area beside somewhere in the computer, I guess. There's an area beside that he says he can put that name in, and it says that there's some box like preferred to be known as. But it won't change the account, but it'll change it in the system somehow. It says preferred to be known as.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have that preferred to be known as because that's kind of looking at you again.
Well, I mean, I explained that it's a birth certificate name, but he couldn't, the computer won't let him enter it.
Under the main account.
Right.
Yeah, so they put in a little special section there, so it's saying they can probably make those little notations there. The thing is what I would be, like I said, I think I would have in that little box there that it's agreed by the parties that the name appearing on the account is taken off the birth certificate.
Yeah, well, I'm supposed to phone him back on Thursday because he's going to research it some more.
By opening a new account, maybe.
Yeah, well, like I said before, they probably can't put the name in upper or lower case, but that's where you just get them to agree, okay, then I'm not here to ask you to change the rules that you can't change.
Yeah.
Let's work with what we got here and just make a notation in there then that the name on that account is off of this. It's the intention of the parties here that it is the name off of the birth certificate.
Right. Yeah, I'll talk to him again.
You know, something like that. You know, give these things further thought before you jump into them, but just food for thought there.
And Vic, with regards to opening up a new account, they always want two pieces of idea. We shouldn't be concerned. Just hand them the driver's license if we have.
Hang on. Just, nope, I would go in with the one ID and say, okay, let's have a discussion about this birth certificate. This is the name that goes on this account like this.
Right.
Okay, now, it may be, folks, that the banks simply cannot facilitate at your request here.
When they want two pieces of ID, it's because they think it's your personal account.
Yeah,
but the corporation doesn't have multiple pieces of ID.
That's right. As soon as you add another piece of of document in addition to the birth certificate, everything becomes identification. So I'd be really leery of doing that, unless, you know, I guess maybe what you're going to say, you're going to explain to them and get them to agree that the name here, although it doesn't look exactly the same on the birth certificate. Since the birth certificate was presented to get the driver's license, clearly it must have been the intention of the parties that the name is the same. So let's get that noted.
In my case, I don't have a last name on my birth certificate. Like the family name is not there. I have just two names. Just like Peter John, but no last name on my birth certificate. Just my parents' name, like my father's name with a last name and my mother's name with her maiden name. So,
is that a correct?
All my documents that I've received, like I wasn't born in this country, but I was born in the Commonwealth under, at the time, in a British colony. So it is in Her Majesty's Commonwealth. But then when I came to Canada, that means they created a name off the birth certificate, but different from the birth certificate. So, in that case, actually, I sent back for a certified copy of my birth certificate. The one I had before was handwritten. The new one, it's all computerized and it's all uppercase. But
yep.
Still, only the two names, no last name.
Yep, what you got is what you got. So if you got a citizenship card, whatever your first documentation is from you came into your hands once you came in Canada, whether you're birthed in Canada or came from abroad, doesn't matter, I don't think, and it's the first piece of identification is the legal name.
So the
and you do not hold title to it.
The last name.
I'm sorry?
The Canadian ID has the last name on it.
Well, what's the last name?
Not from the birth certificate. Huh?
Yeah, but what's the last name for a business? My birth certificate doesn't say last name either. It says name.
I know.
And they say the same thing on Quebec. Name.
So on my birth certificate, there are two names. On the Canadian ID, all of them, there are three names.
Yep.
So which one would be the primary identity?
Like I said, the first piece of identification people get, whether they're born in Canada or the first government document you receive, whether you're born in Canada or whether it comes into your possession when you come from another country, you do not hold title in that name. That's the name.
The government accepted the statement of an event, which is a statement of birth or whatever you brought into this country, and then they created the birth certificate or the citizenship certificate, choosing a name that they wanted to choose from that statement that they received earlier. And so it doesn't matter. Whatever the government created, that is the principle, and you're just the agent.
Thank you, Rob.
It has nothing to do with you.
Right. So the name on the document is the business name. That's all I can tell you, and the government, whoever created that, holds the title to it. So wherever you came into this country, that's the point of entry. That's who's got the paperwork.
And they carry the liability.
Yep.
Vic, can I backtrack?
Yep. Someone's got a digital phone here that's just kind of making a bit of a mess on the line here. It,
sounds like a horse that ran a race.
Yep. Go ahead, Ange.
I just want to mention something. When we went to see the treasurer, okay, I specifically put in there that I wanted him to change the name to the format that I desired, and he said he couldn't do it. His hands were bound by the Municipal Act. That's what he told me. So just keep that in mind, too.
Yep. So, again, it may be that the message is there that, you know, if you know what you got, you got to go higher up the ladder. Remember Neo in the Matrix there? He went right to the top. He went to the Machine City, the guy that had the power to stop the war. And I don't think that was a municipality. I don't think it was a cop. I don't think it was an accountant. I'm not sure. I don't think it was a lawyer, although it might have been. But I don't think so. And Judy Hartman said it's common knowledge in upper levels of government what a birth certificate is. A municipality is down to the bottom from the government's perspective.
In Canada, wouldn't that be the Governor General? The machine head? Because he is the
they're all de facto and blah, 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 blah. Like I said, in my view, I go to who did it? Who did it? Okay, I don't see any piece of paperwork in front of my face that says anything about Governor General or Lieutenant Governors.
It just says, well, mine says Quebec.
Yeah, but some party's holding that piece of paper.
Registrar of Civil Status.
Oh, there
There's
you go.
A name there too.
Well, it's Minister of Justice is in charge of Civil Status.
So, therefore, that is the creator.
Yeah, see, here's how I look at this, folks. I send a contract to the government that has a name appearing on the birth certificate and the signature down there for the party. On the face of the birth certificate, on the last page is a statement of birth. Now, where are they going to look to for performance but themselves? Where else are they going to look? You know, the letter is signed sincerely, Beck, Victor, Robert, Purr, blah, 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 blah. There's nothing from me. Nothing, there's no mention of any upper lowercase name. There's nothing. All there is in evidence now is the birth certificate. This is where the authority's coming from. The name on the birth certificate is the name on the contract, is the name on both of those is off the statement of birth. It's the back page. Now, what's so complicated about that?
Who did you send that to?
I didn't say I did.
Oh. I thought you said you sent the letter off.
Nope. It will be going to the title holder.
Are you going to share that, who the title holder is?
But who holds the information with regards to your statement of birth? Where did your birth certificate come from?
Okay.
Where did you request it from? You look in the statute and figure it out. And we've been talking about this for such a long time. Surely people have done that little bit of homework. Apparently not. Apparently.
Well, I haven't done that.
In Ontario, that's the Registrar General.
Well, Quebec will have the equivalent.
Anything received for the principal goes back to the title holder as his liability.
That's the bottom line. So I'm not going to communicate with someone that has no knowledge of the facts, the truth, the proof. I'm going to communicate with the one that did it. Whose office did it? Oh, your office did it. There's the office to go to. You have knowledge of this. And, you know, remember what I think I shared what Lee did there a couple of years. It's almost 2 years ago now since he communicated with the CRA, relieving them of their duty to request or demand anything. And he has not heard a peep. And in that document, basically, he was indicating that his birth certificate is a claim authorized and backed by Her Majesty. And so he was using that as the authority to tell the agents they didn't have to request or demand. He relieved them of their duty, blah, blah. And so you see. There has not been a peep. He didn't sign or address the form the way we would do it today, but enough was said there with respect to the birth certificate and what it is that he had the authority to do what he did. So although the matter is not closed properly, they have not bothered him because enough was said there without signatures. And as I shared in when Beck was convicted a couple years ago almost, I just signed four and then the signature. Now, they never sent any paperwork to any address that I'm aware of. Yet the debt is still on the books. So that's telling me that they can't come to me, but there's nowhere else to go. So that account's going to sit in limbo until they have some place to send it for grounding to get rid of the charges. So my reasoning here is I'm not going to play with all these accounts, the hydro, the phone, this and that and the other thing. I mean, why do I want to educate all them when I just need to communicate higher up the government there to the owner of the whole darn thing? That's my take on it. And once I've done that, then everything else will just fall into place. They will just simply take care of it.
But you do that through a lawyer, Vic, don't you?
Sure, I see no reason why you couldn't.
Or a notary.
I see no reason why you couldn't go right to the lawyer and have the conversation. You know, here's the facts as I know them, and Her Majesty holds title in this, and I just want you to communicate with the government there that... everything I do now is going to be in this name. All the contracts are going to be in this name. Where do I send them for performance?
We're going to have some fun with this.
I think the lawyer would be, you know, depending where he's at in his knowledge and what kind of guy he's at, would be more or less compelled to assist you because now you're doing something in Her Majesty's interest.
Oh, yeah, but if you want to change everything.
So, sure, any other questions?
Just a comment. I think it's a good idea maybe to get a stamp made so you can use it and it don't get confused.
If they appoint a trustee to do all of this for you, then the stamp will become redundant, so I wouldn't. It's up to you.
I just put one in order.
I personally have no intentions of going opening bank accounts and going doing this and going doing that and doing, as the gentleman said earlier, what the principal's agent should be doing. You want to be sovereign here. I think you need to start thinking like sovereigns. And Her Majesty has appointed all of those representatives out there to look after her interests, which if you're doing things in the matter that are her interests, those representatives are working for you, so you don't need to do any of this stuff. And while you're all thinking that way, I don't get it yet. You're just going to interfere with the whole thing.
Nick, Dave here.
Yep.
Have you ever got a reply back from your letters when you sent your documents in?
What letters?
Well, I understand you... from May 16th or so, when you sent your first documents, and then again in, I think you said in September, you sent a follow-up. I just wondered if you ever got a reply.
That was all part of the giver process, Dave, and I've shared along the way that, yes, we've received two replies on that and responded twice to that. And then since then, we have sent in the mass thing where now they know about 90 other givers as of November 16th.
Right.
So, yes.
So they haven't had time to respond, you're saying, to that?
I didn't say that. I said, you know, just answering your question, that yes, we did receive responses. I shared all of that already, that they were thinking that it was talking about my estate, my legal will, so I clarified that. It came back again that thought I was still talking about the legal will. I said, look, buddy, we're not talking about the kind of will you're talking about here.
Il vous reste 30 secondes.
And I responded to that, and so that was sent, and then subsequent to that was when Justin sent off from him, all of this, the other letter with respect to Alias, which was 90 other recipients. I talked about this last week.
Yes, I understand. But you haven't received any reply about from that forwarding.
Not yet.
No.
Nope.
So we're still in.
Nope. Like I said, if people are waiting for that process to complete for some reason before taking advantage of the new knowledge here, I don't understand why you're doing that. But, however, you're certainly free to do that. So I guess I'll just shut up on that. But don't feel like you have to wait. I thought I made this very clear in the emails, and maybe that's not anyone's point here, but there's nothing, no need for you to wait.
Wait for what?
Because if you want to wait this long process where they go right to where you got to keep.
So if you want to wait for that, you can wait for that. If you want to start using this new knowledge now, there's nothing to stop you. You have the information now how to bind the firm that you were not a signatory on.
Exactly. Thank you.
The mistake we have been making is simple. We have been signing in the manner that meets with Section 131 of the Bills of Exchange Act, which right there it says is liable.
So
whoever's repeating what I'm saying on the call, please don't do that. You don't need to hear me. I don't need to hear myself twice. So it's for a want of disclosing any kind of capacity that we have got ourselves bound here. So it's right there in Section 131 of the Bills of Exchange Act. We have all signed in that manner, and that has been the problem. It says right there. So just look at how you've been signing things, and just a plain old signature, you've bound yourself. And again, it has nothing to do with the name of the contract. It's the signature.
So our documents that we may forward then would go to the government agency that created the birth certificate.
Well, the party that holds the title. I don't know who created the birth certificate. I know who holds title.
Wouldn't they be acting as the agent for their authority to create that document, the birth certificate?
Yep.
Therefore, if you forwarded any accounts for them to look after, they should forward it on to the other respective party, their principal.
That's right. All I'm saying is I don't know who created the birth certificate. I know you can request it under the Vital Statistics Act in Ontario, but actually who creates it, where it comes from, I don't know. But
well, it's signed by the deputy registrar in B.C.
Yeah, I understand that. It's a rubber stamp signature. It's the Canadian Banknote Company prints those, so there's part of the equation. Does it come right from there? Does it come from the Bank of Canada? Does it come through some other source? I don't know. But the point is there is a government party that does hold title to that. So to answer your question, Dave, yes, if you were to communicate to the party that issued the birth certificate properly, I'm sure that they will feed the information wherever it needs to go. The point is if they see that Her Majesty is bound on a contract, someone's got to do something about it. Otherwise, Her Majesty's going to go in breach.
It indicates on the document whether it's Canadian or it's provincial. And in the end, it's all Her Majesty's responsibility or liability.
That's right. That's exactly right. Her Majesty in right of a province, Her Majesty in right of Canada, the enterprise.
I think you explained it well enough, Vic, and on all the last emails. I don't think anybody should have any problems with getting it right.
That's right. And so just myself, I think at this point, and like Chris said earlier, my mind might be different tomorrow, but I'm more inclined to sign per the signature for the firm. Because in my mind, that steers the eyes now to Section 131(2) of the Bills of Exchange Act. Which suggests there's a partnership, which means there's other parties involved here. So then that gives rise, well, then who's the partners? Well, I'm not exactly sure, but I do know Her Majesty holds title, and that I'm not a signatory, but I have the authorization to do what I'm doing here because I've been doing it all along, except I'm binding myself. So,
get back to, shall we say, when a marriage breaks down, there's a divorce, and the wife has been using, of course, the married name and been using that maybe for 10, 20, 30 years even. she would go on continuing using that name, but she would have to use on any documents she might accept to put her maiden name, her certificate name on the document, and then just sign it per, et cetera.
Like I said, it doesn't matter what name appears on the bill or the contract buying the firm. Everyone has a birth certificate. Everyone has some form of a document, citizenship, whatever. So get that name on it. That's accepted. That's signed on it. That name is the party that's now whatever's on, for whatever name's up top.
And
she can sign with a different name every time, as long as it's stated it's for the principal, which is on the birth certificate.
Yeah.
Well, that's really not what I'm saying. You got an invoice for the married name, and yet the wife is on her own now, and she's still using the married name. But on the accepted contract, she has to print on that contract when she says acceptance the name that's on the birth certificate, and then just sign it per and for the firm.
That's what I said. That's what I said.
Yeah.
We all have a business.
Why should I sell those names to the principal, so they can you can bind the principal to those trade names?
Yeah, well, you can just do that every time. Every time you sign for the firm, you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So you can do it on a contract and put the contract in your back pocket where no one else sees, or you can do it on the contract, which is when you accept something and sign for the firm. That's the contract. So it's the same thing.
So you're not.
Well, I just want to make sure that I I'm backed up. So that's why I went to the notary and had the whole pile of names sold for $1 to the principal.
Yep, I understand why you did that. I'm just saying it's not necessary to do that, but one certainly can do that. Absolutely.
It's again, worth the $10 or $20 you pay for the notarization.
Not the name on the contract or on the contract. It's who signed and how was it signed. No, they're throwing trade names at you every day and you sign, and so they move on the basis based on the signature. Put the truth on the table and sign it now. Properly.
Vic, do I understand you're not using agent now?
I'm not sure. When it comes time to actually doing a contract, hopefully in the next few days, I'll know when it comes time. I'm just trying to think of a way to indicate, just to be honest with you, how when I put the name Beck Victor down, that Her Majesty holds title in that without actually putting that down like that.
Vic, it's Myrna.
Hey, Myrna.
Hey, I think I know what's happened here. I did some research on negotiable instruments a while back,
mm-hmm.
and it says from the finance department, money meaning negotiable instruments.
Yep.
So going way back, negotiable instruments are synonymous with bills of exchange and their acts. And if you look up their contract, it's kind of interesting. And I think one article I read said negotiable instruments are special contracts.
Yep.
So we get a birth certificate. We're the general agent of it. We go to the bank. They change the name. Now it's a special contract, a negotiable instrument, and we become the special agent.
Yep.
Instead of the general agent.
Again, all because of how we've been signing.
Right.
Yep.
And the same thing happened then with the social insurance number.
That's right. It's at the end of the day, it comes down to the signature. And again, if you read 131 of the Bills of Exchange Act, it says right there, if you don't sign in a representative, well, if you just sign like you're doing it in your own name, you're on the hook.
Right.
Period.
Right.
You know, all of us.
So it's irrelevant, the contract. It's irrelevant, the names on the contract. The most important thing is signature line, just per signature.
Well, I just, when I said that, I just had a thought. Like I said, I'm trying to think of a way to... Because technically, the straw man, Her Majesty is the principal, and the straw man itself is an agent. Okay, but it's also a principal. Because it's the party that, it's the name that's on the contract that the other party's going to sue if there's a breach of contract. So that is the principal. on the contractor. And like I say, every corporation, basically it's all corporate entities that are principals on contracts. And like all corporations, there has to be a human being behind the corporation to perform for the corporation, drawing on the resources of their of the corporation. And so the only question here is, if you sign as in a representative capacity, then the only question is, well, which human being is it that has to perform now? And the human being could be a government lawyer, could be the government, you know, any number of human beings with another title that would be on the, would perform for the principal, being Her Majesty of the agent, the straw man, being the principal in front of the eyes of the vendor. So I say, in my view, a minister can be a principal, and then the deputy can be an agent, and then a guy below the deputy could be an agent. And the guy at the very bottom is an agent. The guy above him is his principal. The deputy is an agent, and his principal is the minister. So the deputy has got two roles there, principal and agent. He's an agent of the minister and a principal to the guy down below him. So I don't see why the same thing isn't applicable here. Ultimately, yes, Her Majesty is the principal as the, being the owner, the one on to perform for the straw man. And so the, Her Majesty, in that sense, is a principal, and the straw man is an agent. But in the eyes of the vendor, the principal is the principal is the straw man. So then the question is, well, who's responsible to perform for it? So anyway, when I said all of that, I just had a quick thought come to mind, just something to think about. But maybe if you know, for the agent, for the principal.
Say that again.
The buck bounces all the way up to Her Majesty.
For the agent, for the principal.
Yeah.
So per, for the agent, for the principal. So now you're saying that Zach Victor is an agent and there's a principal. So you're signing, binding the binding the agent of the principal. So you're binding the straw man that is of the principal or majesty. Of course, it doesn't say that specifically, so it doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to receive it that way. And this is why...
Do you believe it's important to establish that, that it is Her Majesty that owns the title? Or are you focusing just on whoever it is that, that, that owns the title?
Because I can't put the name of the title holder on the contract. I don't think I have the authority to do that.
Okay.
So I can't. How do I disclose?
Her Majesty anyway.
The only way for me to disclose that is to say it, or to put it in writing to someone. Her Majesty holds title in this, in the principal on the contract, the buyer.
Okay, but do we even know that it's Her Majesty that owns the title?
Right of Canada. Everything that the government has in its possession is its property, and it's all held in trust for Her Majesty in the name of Her Majesty.
Okay.
So I see every government representative as a trustee. So this is why I think at the end of the day that the name on the birth certificate is the principal. The only question is if you're not the principal, or you're not the owner of the principal, then someone else is responsible to perform. And this is why I'm going right to the top. I'm not bothering to deal with the accounts on a basis, because they don't know the truth. I believe that if I lay the truth as I know it in front of the parties that know the truth, which is the ones that did it, they will just accept it. So for me, it keeps my mind real simple. I'm just going to get a contract with the proper name on the top, proper signature down below, and I'm going to send that to the title holder. I may introduce myself as the recipient of the birth certificate. However, the government knows that people are recipients of birth certificates, so I may just end up making the request in the name on the birth certificate. In other words, the name on the birth certificate is asking mom to perform. This is a mom sonny thing.
Are you planning on sharing that letter?
Sharing what?
The letter.
No.
We got to come up with our own.
Let me recant that. It's not to say I won't share it. If I do, it wouldn't be till it's finished.
Right.
And in the meantime.
I'm just saying. You know, I jumped on the. You know. The giver process train.
Yep. I'm just looking at this. At some point in time, people here, you're going to have to start doing things on your own.
Right.
And, you know, once you get the program working. But anyhow. I'm sure I will share that letter, whatever, but not until it's done. Meaning I'm not going to share it now, Mm-hmm. Until I have something to say, yep, this is how I drafted it, this is the result. Right. But in the meantime, anyone, it's, you know, this knowledge, this information to me is very, very straightforward, very simple. You can choose who you want to communicate the truth to.
Right. Is the contract that you're doing up, or just a letter?
Contract, and then I got to have a letter to send accompanying the contract indicate what I'm asking the firm, the owner of the firm, to do here for the firm. So that's a contract. There's no, what am I going to send to the government? Just a letter? I want to send them a letter with a contract attached.
Mm.
So I've got some appointments to go look at some stuff tomorrow.
So what are you going to buy, Vic?
I'm keeping everything hush-hush.
Oh.
And he's not buying it.
That's right. I'm not buying anything, but here nor there.
He's taking possession
for the principal.
It's neither here nor there. It's just got to get a contract. I want to get a contract, and I want to send it to the downtown.
See what happens to it.
That's right. And I know who I am, and I know that that name on that birth certificate is not of me, and I know that what the proof is, and it's admissible in court, and my signature ain't on it. This whole thing's about signatures, so let's go back to the beginning here. Your signature's not there. If you incorporate a business out of your own head, but come up with a name and put your signature on there, then you were there. You're a party partner, but we didn't do any of that. I know that. And I know if all of this was in front of a judge and he's looking at all the paperwork and seeing the contract and seeing that the name on the contract is signed properly with an agent, whatever, and capacity there, and he sees the statement of birth in front of his face. He can't be saying, well, who else besides Your Majesty is responsible here? Looking at the evidence, it's all documentary evidence, and it's right in front of his face. Well, I see the signature here, so this name started here, and so it was one of us that did it. It looks like a division registrar who's got the authority of Her Majesty, so it looks like it was Her Majesty that did this. Nowhere else to look. Now, your hydro company, your phone company, I don't think they're going to know this stuff. So that's why I'm not focusing any of my energy on dealing with any of those accounts. If you turn back the hands of time and knew what you had before you established all of those accounts, maybe you would have set up a communication right off the hop, and then none of this wouldn't happen. In other words, it would have been known from the beginning, okay, you want to do business this way, unlike everyone else, you're going to do business in this name and sign like this. Well, then we'll set it all up for you now, but you don't see any of the bills. In other words, you didn't have to get into the game to learn how to get out of it, because the possibility was always there that you never would get into it. You knew how to play the game. Which would mean that you never had those bills. So if the fact that you're getting them, that can be undone. But I believe the best, in my case, I'm focusing my energy on going to the top here. Mm-hmm. I believe when they see that I've bound them on a couple contracts, that will lead to the phone call or something.
Yeah, something.
Either that, or they just accept it and pay it, and so I just keep doing it. I'd be surprised.
There's intention to deceive going on here, because what happened to me, and on my immigration, even though my birth certificate didn't have a last name, there's the title that was given on my immigration. The last name is first, then comma, then my two given names. But right at the airport, when I arrived in Canada, right at the airport, the immigration officer asked, and do you plan to work in Canada? I said, yes. I was like 20 years old. I said, yes. He said, okay, why don't I just apply for a social insurance number for you right away? So she did that, and on the social insurance number, the name is reversed. Now it's given name, last name.
Yep.
So if we weren't discussing this, I would have no reason to believe that originally they wrote in a different form than it is on all my IDs right now. Because everything from that point on, it's first name, middle name, and last name. Only
yep.
On the on the immigration document itself, it shows the last name.
Yep, and like I said, that's the documents you want to deal with. The first piece of stuff you got. Okay, because that's the title holder. That's where the source, that's the source.
Very interesting.
Any other questions? You got?
I sent out that stuff when I was talking to one of the registrars in Britain about the birth certificate.
the only sticking point I see right now is when people are going to go out and initiate contracts. A lot of the car dealers, home buyers, and whatever are going to request a second piece of ID. And as you know, that's going to bind you into the liability.
We already talked about how to avoid that, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of how to get around that because you don't want to kind of spook off your protector. You know, once they hear that kind of information, they may just dissolve the contract on you right then and there and say, no, you're not getting a car, you're not getting a house, and how to go about changing that. Because when I inquired with the Minister of Finance about the back of the birth certificate, and I just referenced it as a bond. Now, that went to Jim Flaherty, and within 24 hours, Ray was on the case, and they want to talk about it over the mail, or I can come down there. So there's a tie-in there, but I'm going to keep digging away at that and see what their tie-in is, since they do a lot of the receiving and sending money over to public works, where that pans out.
Well, I don't know what they're doing behind the scenes, and again, I'm not going to play any guessing games, and whatever I thought I knew, I don't really know. So what I know, so I'm just going to go on what I don't know.
Well, exactly.
Certain things that I do know, and again, the name on that certificate I do know, or the statement of birth is not of me. That's a fact. And there's something else you said there I wanted to touch on, and ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum.
Yeah, I get that too.
With regards to the second ID, I've done many transactions, as I've shared, and I haven't presented any ID. That was for homes, for automobiles. I've never presented any ID. And so wasn't asked for any of that. And other thing is the contract will be done up, and then it will be sent downtown for performance. And if they don't perform, then there's a breach.
Yeah, okay. Because in D.C. here, they're starting to ask for ID now. Even on the new birth certificates, they're getting a fingerprint on them.
Sure. And I could see that someone said that they were told that they could open up a bank account with birth, but that they'd need to go through a lawyer. So there's your opportunity now to lay it all on the line with the lawyer. Okay, here's how we want to do things, but they won't let me do it, and they want me to do things this way. They want me to take all these assumed names and trade names and commit fraud and all this shit, and I'm not going there. So what do we do here?
Exactly. My motto is just ask, what do I do? Who do I talk to?
That's right.
It seems to work really good, everything I do. I just ask a childlike question, and man, the information I get is just gold.
Yeah, well, because now you're actually drawing on them what they were trained to do, instead of telling them all this shit coming out of our heads that we think they got to do and using words and language they don't have a clue what it all means.
Oh, exactly. Making demands, forget it. You'll never get anywhere.
I mean, I've shared the teachings of Abraham, and one of the books that Esther and Jerry Hicks wrote is called Ask and It Is Given. Did Jesus not say the same thing? So it's a case of asking.
Exactly. Got to have a good question.
So the question becomes, well, what makes you think you have the authority to ask this? Well, I have Her Majesty's authority. Oh. Okay, then. Not going to resist that.
No, I'm going to drop the line, Vic, and let you guys all continue on. And if I ride my bike by, I'll jump in and sit around the fire again.
I love that, Dave.
Okay.
Sooner than later, Bubby, and thank you very much. Love you.
I love you, too.
So anyhow, the thing is, you know, and I think here is to avoid all the things we've done in the past. We directing them to do this and directing them to do that when we don't really know what all those words mean, instead of just asking. You know, and then by asking, you're putting the onus on the other guy to do something. You know, so if you're asking, you know, does the fact the government holds just mean they hold title on this? And the guy, and the truth is yes, and the guy says no, he's gonna. Before he says no, he might think about this. Well, geez, if I say no, this guy could come back at me. This guy could suffer damages and come back at me. So what do I do here? I better tell him the truth. But if you're not asking these questions, there's no way to bind these guys up in their consciousness not in a negative way, but they have a job to do, and I would suggest that they're not going to lie. You know, if someone come to me and asked me about a satellite dish and said, start talking about 400 channels, they go, whoa, 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 whoa. It's 180 channels, not 400. If I don't say that, they get the dish at home, they're going to be counting, and they're not going to find 400 channels. Next thing I'm going to get is a phone call. So better to be forthright and honest. But if people don't ask, then You know, if people don't ask how many channels they get, then they can't say, I didn't get as many channels as I thought. Well, you didn't ask me how many you were getting. You said you wanted a satellite dish. So you got to ask. So I guess what I'm saying is to adopt that attitude. Okay, I'm going to ask. I'm going to take this asking perspective rather than this demanding and directing attitude. Don't act like you know everything. Because the truth is, in the bigger picture, we know nothing. We remember nothing. Subconscious knows everything. If you can tap into that, go nuts.
Vic, it's Jim. What you were talking about before was signing with for the agent, for the principal. Do you think for that you might also add for the principal of the firm?
I guess if you want to write a book, you can do that. Like I said, I don't know. That still doesn't satisfy the request. I mean, the fact that you're signing for the firm, okay, right off the hop indicates there's a business here. So right off the hop, that means you're not on the hook.
Right.
In other words, that name is not you and you're not the name. So that's a good thing. That's a starting point.
True.
So at that point in time, they say firm name. If they don't know, what do you mean you don't know or whatever, but ask questions and get to the point where they see the firm name. Okay, firm is a business. Are you the owner of the business? No. Who is? Well, I'm not exactly sure about your language and all that stuff here, but what I do know is that, a representative of Her Majesty holds the piece of information that certified true and correct that this name originated off of. My signature's not on it. and that's the truth. And the proof is the proof. And there's no one can sit in a courtroom and hold, and look at any statement of birth and say this statement of birth identifies him or her. So once again, it's as we've known for a long time, they need us to step forward and identify ourselves.
Yeah.
And then they need us to identify what kind of heart do we have here. Are you here to defend? If you're here to defend, it's totally an ego thing.
Right.
In other words, whatever you're doing is for you. If you're here to settle, or better yet, if you're here to perform in service to Her Majesty, that's for the all. That's in service to the public, which is the people. Then it's not you. Really what the whole thing comes down to, and so the choices in life are, and again, if you read Eyes of an Angel, they made it very clear in there that the ultimate service a spirit can give to another is to die for it. That's the ultimate. So surely we're giving your labor and just serving here through Her Majesty, okay, I'm just going to do that, no problem, that's easy. I'm not dying, that's easy. So being in service, it's an honor to serve. And that point got made very clear to me in Eyes of an Angel. And I accepted that because that's basically what God did when he created everything he did for us to play in this field, and it's all free. And, so it all fits into the equation. So,
hey, if you use of the firm, then you are complying with the Bills of Exchange Act 31-2, right?
Not of the firm, for the firm.
For the firm?
Yeah.
I thought we had for the agent, for the principal.
That's just something I threw out there.
Okay. No, I'm saying, but that's...
Like I said, I think I'm going to sign for the firm. I made that, or said that earlier on in the conversation. I was just offering something that came to mind. For the agent, for the principal.
Keep it simple.
For Her Majesty, for Registrar General, for this and that, all that other shit. Keep it simple is right. Bottom line is, unless you're specifically stating on there that Her Majesty holds title, I think the question is going to come up. Firm, okay, who's the owner? I don't know of any other way to get there yet.
Uh-huh.
Someone can come up with a way to identify the owner through some legal language, some simple word that means this name is owned by someone else, then by all means share it with me, but otherwise I don't think without writing a book.
Well, they should be able to check against the registration number if they're curious about
that. You just tell them. The firm. This is a business, is it? Yeah, are you the owner? Nope. Do you have the authority to do this? Yep. Are you sure? Yep. If there's any fraud here, then I'm sure that'll come to light at some point in time. But unless you have evidence of fraud here, let's carry on.
Sorry to beat this to a pulp, but
name on the registration of my birth, like statement of birth, or the birth certificate? If there is a difference between the two, is it? It's they're both. Doesn't matter.
They're supposed to be the same.
Mine isn't.
Yep. Look, folks, keep in mind here, here's the other thing, if it hasn't gone quick yet, is let's take the name Beck Victor Robert. If no registration of birth was done on May 21st, 1958, and the name of a child given as Beck Victor Robert did not happen, would that name possibly exist out there in the world?
No.
No. Okay, so it does exist. And it does not exist because of you or me. Okay? It exists because of an act of law. So just sign in the capacity. It doesn't matter what name's on the contract. Just disclose that this is a firm, a business, something other than just don't do it the way you've been doing it. Okay? And if you sign for the firm, then you got to, if someone says, "Oh, this is a business. Are you the owner?" You need to know what the question. Otherwise, don't sign for the firm if you don't know what to say.
Like everything before. we do for the we do as an agent for the benefit of the firm.
No, I'm grasping the concept. I'm just saying, in my case, the registration of live birth, and it gave birth to the birth certificate, and the two names are not identical.
Doesn't matter. Neither name would exist if the law didn't require the registration of birth.
Yeah, but the question posed is, when I am creating contracts, and we need to have it exactly the same as X, either the birth certificate or the registration of live birth.
Yeah, or have the party you're doing all this with agree that the name, the way they're putting it on the form, is off one of those two documents, yes?
Oh, okay. So it's irrelevant which one I use to make sure that I'm not holding the liability.
Same old thing, yep.
Yeah, it's called disclosure.
That's right. But the whole thing's about, I've tried to stress this in the emails. The whole point of this exercise is so the third party, the other party on the contract, knows who or what they are doing business with. That's the purpose of this.
Right. Make sure that the proper party gets bound to the contract.
Okay, so if that's right. It's responsible to make sure that the accounts are settled here. So, it's not complicated.
No, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
If you do a name in your own name, which would not be the one on the birth certificate, then you're...
Say that again. There was a couple of beeps in there halfway through.
As it says on Quebec, what did I just say?
There's some more beeps.
Oh, the fifth time I've said it. It's in an email, Chris.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not. I don't think. Yes, it is. I believe the birth certificates in Quebec prove that any names appearing on the accounts are not your name.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
One thing to watch out for, I went to talk to a real estate agent, and when they ask you what name is going under, I gave them the birth certificate, and I said, it goes exactly as this. This is the business name. And when she started writing it down, they had the boxes on the application, first name, middle name, last name. And she started writing first name, middle name, last name on it. And I said, no. I said, it's all one word, the spaces in between. And she crossed them all out and then wrote it across the top of the application. All as one business name.
Yep, that's... Again, you want it exactly as it appears on the birth certificate. And again, if you meet any resistance to that, just show them the birth certificate. Say, look at it. See how it is on there? That's the legal name.
I told them, no first name, no middle name, no last name.
Right, but just show them, this is the legal name, and like all legal names, it must be on the form the legal name is registered. In other words, you don't take General, if you're doing business with General Motors, but you put down Motors General, I'm sorry, ma'am, but General Motors is not on the hook on the contract. So if you want to have accuracy here, let's get it down accurately. Well, but in any case, Jack, you just showed by just telling them that they did it, right?
They did it, yeah.
No resistance. She started to do it her way, but he corrected her, no problem.
And then she asked for a birth date. And we gave her a birth date. Later on, I said, no, corporations don't have birth dates. Phoned her, I said, cross that out. I said, don't mention that on the contract.
You put down registration date.
Well, it should be the date of incorporation.
Registration date. That's the date.
So if they do put it on there, that's what it is. It's not a birth date, it's a registration date. So.
Yep, it's right on the birth certificate, registration date. Date of registration. So if they need to put a date in there, that's what I would put, date of registration. Remember, it's of the event, not you.
You're right there. They can answer to the birth date because it is the birthing of the corporation.
Yeah, but I personally go by registration date.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, you've got the number that says registration right there.
Yep.
Home call. Push it today. Say my car is here. And do you have everything there that we can complete the deal? I said, oh yeah, no problem. And then the salesman says, but I do need a deposit. I says, well, I've already paid for it. He said, oh, did you? I said, well, nice, fine. That was the money. And he says, oh, let me get back to you. So the guy who actually gave me the signature for the contract before I signed, he phoned me up. And he asked me, when do I want to complete the deal? I says, well, you give me a date. He says, we'll come by Saturday, and you have the funds. I says, no, I've already paid for the vehicle. When I signed that contract, it was paid for. And I did tell the business manager to take this contract to their lawyer, and he will know what to do. And so he says, oh, really? So... let me get back to you on that. I said, just talk to your lawyer. That's all you have to talk to. And he says, well, talk to anybody we have to get this deal completed. And as far as I know right now, I'm to show up Saturday to pick up my car.
Right. Now, just one word of caution there, Jack, as we talked before, is is you're assuming that the actual agreement to buy the car is the money.
Well, this is what I sort of understand, yeah.
And like we talked about there the other day, is in the Sale of Goods Act, it talks about the Bill of Exchange, and the Bill of Exchange is specifically defined in the Bills of Exchange Act. Okay? It is an order. It says pay to the order of or something like that.
Well, I didn't mention that. What I'll be looking for is a Bill of Exchange.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So the thing is by saying to them, you're confusing the issue, in my view, by telling them that when you sign the contract, you paid for the car. Yeah, I think I know what you're getting at is that because the bill of exchange is due to you yet for acceptance, but the fact is it hasn't been delivered yet, and so.
I told him, I said, I am looking for a bill of exchange, something to endorse to return to you so you get your money.
Yeah, I understand that, but that hasn't happened yet, so technically they have not been paid, contrary to what you're telling them. So it's a little out of sync. You put the cart before the horse, in other words. Their mind is not going cha-ching here or anything yet. And the fact is there has been no bill of exchange. There has been no realization, in my view, of any credit in the bank account. So they're not going to let that car go.
So get the notary to put the request in for it.
No. When they call to say the car is ready, okay, they're saying what they're saying is they're ready to perform on their end of the contract. So then it's up to the buyer to show up to do his end of the contract, which is to accept the car. You know, provided that he's getting what he said he wanted.
Right.
So that's why they do the vehicle inspection. You get to go through the car and around the car to make sure everything's A-OK. And then as soon as you say, yep, it's all fine, brand new, no dents and all that sort of stuff, and those, you know, whatever, and brand new car, yep, everything's good here. So then you go inside to the next step, which is now they're still expecting you to pay. And this is where you say, okay, you see all the paperwork here and they're asking for this and that and the other thing. And you say, okay, just before you get going here, which one of these is the bill of exchange? And the bill of exchange is about the size of a check.
Okay.
Okay. It is not a legal size document like a bill of sale or these contracts they have, either 8.5 by 11 or whatever. It is about the size of a check, and it is in accordance with the Bills of Exchange Act, Section 16, or it is not a bill of exchange. And so that's when one asks for the bill of exchange. And if they don't have the bill of exchange there and identify it as the bill of exchange, then they're not ready to perform. So now it becomes a case of, well, and you don't, you know, you're just thinking in your mind, well, just let me get this straight. These guys call me up to say the car is ready to, in other words, they're asking me to perform, but they are not themselves ready to perform. So you've showed up to do your thing in the negotiation, so you're doing everything in honor now, but now you're realizing that the bill of exchange is not there, and to remain in honor, you're not going to do anything other than to honor that bill of exchange, which you cannot do if you do not see it. So you need to, you want to remain in honor here, and they're not allowing it, so they're the ones that are in the resistance, they're the ones that are breaking down the peace talks, and they're the bad guy at this point in time. So now the burden's on them to know, now go and get that bill of exchange. But that doesn't happen yet. That's when they ask you for the money, that's how they're supposed to ask you for the money. That's what the bill of exchange is.
Okay, now he said he's going to talk to anybody, they have to close this deal.
Yep, I understand that, but like I say, it's from my perspective, things are a little bit out of sync right now. You're saying you've already paid for the car, and I think I know where you're coming from, but the fact is, until you get that bill of exchange and endorse it, and they get it in their bank account, they have not been paid.
Hey, Vic?
Yeah.
Bruce here, question. In the event, yeah, good to talk to you. In the event they don't come through with the bill of exchange, they're now in dishonor, would
That's
you
right.
then, or should we now then launch a notarial protest in order to have that taken care of?
Well, I don't know that that's necessary. That's one path. I don't know if it's a protest so much. You would just basically say, I contracted to do this and this name, the firm name, and all, get all the truth down there. And the dealer called me up to come pick up the car, and I went down there on such and such a day to take delivery and looked at the car. Everything was fine, but then when I asked the seller, to transmit the bill of exchange, they didn't know what, they refused to do so, or they didn't do so, or they said they weren't going to do so, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And in accordance with the Sale of Goods Act, if the buyer does not honor the bill of exchange, then basically the buyer is in dishonor. And to avoid the dishonor, the buyer did request the bill of exchange to accept it to remain in honor, but was refused that. So rather than go into dishonor, has left it that the dealership has failed to do its job, part of the contract.
Right.
Or
so by them failing to do so, then what leverage would you use? Okay.
Or you could call the cops. Remember, you're not doing this for you. You're doing it in a name Her Majesty holds title to. So it's Her Majesty's car, and it's Her Majesty's bill of exchange, which, as we know, is the money. So it's Her Majesty's money, and they're not giving you the money for Her Majesty. It's not their money either.
Right. Right.
And so it's like we got a situation here, but it does say right here, officer, in the Sale of Goods Act, if I don't honor that bill of exchange, then the property and the goods does not pass to the buyer. And how can I honor it if I don't see it? And I'm sure, officer, you would be paying for something if it's not yours.
Uh-huh.
No, yeah. All other knowledge, forget all other knowledge you know about things behind the scenes, and right then and there, there's an issue. And the dealer will tell you, a friend of mine has been pressing a dealer that he wants the bill of lading, and he does not want the dealer to register the car. And the dealer has a real problem with that. And with regards to registration, I said to Wally, well, why would you resist that? Because the fact is, you're buying it for the firm, so you don't want it you want it registered in the firm name, so have them register the darn thing and have it registered properly.
Uh-huh.
So it's not about that. It's about the bill of exchange. So now the focus is solely on receiving that bill of exchange for those who want to play the game of buying the car.
Right.
And at no time here is anyone suggesting that anyone goes out and buys the car and does all of this stuff. But if one wants to do that, then one needs to know why he's doing what he's doing, and to basically go with the flow of how they normally do things.
Uh-huh.
Okay, except when it comes down to the name. You put the name on there because this is how you do things. And Jack has showed here there's been no problem on any contracts to put down the name the way he wants it.
Right.
Which is no first, middle, and last and all that crap. And so
ID either.
Or ID either, exactly. And like I say, I've never had an issue with that either. And if you did, then I would go to a lawyer. And, because it's... although I see no reason to go down this path, it becomes a restraint of trade. It becomes a restriction. It's a criminal offense under the necessities of life aspect. Make it that I need a birth certificate to buy things, but then I'm liable for it.
In the event that they
And if that's the case, I want to do things in my own name, but then I can't buy things, so.
Had the bill of exchange there. The proper way to endorse it would be per signature, for the firm?
Same as the contract. You're except on that, you're accepting it. You're accepting it. By accepting it, you're binding the firm as the drawee, you see? And so that the thing is here, in any case, to keep in mind is that bill of exchange is not your money and it is not the dealer's money. It is Her Majesty's money, and if you may just want to call the police. Not to throw anyone in jail, but to become the mediator. No disrespect to you guys. The dealership here, I love you all, and I just see you guys obviously don't know what a bill of exchange is. That's okay. And we're at a stalemate here, so this is what I propose we do to get through this stalemate. Let's call the police.
You think the police is going to know what it is?
You're just showing them the law where it says if the buyer does not honor the bill of exchange, the property and the goods does not pass. Now, officer, how can I honor it if I don't get it? I just want to get the bill of exchange. I don't care what the cop knows beyond that. I just want the bill of exchange because once I have it, it is the check, it is the money, the car is paid for. I don't care what the cop knows. Just tell the man, it's not my money, it's Her Majesty's money, and get me the bill of exchange. The property does not pass to the buyer if the buyer doesn't get it, and they're not delivering.
Dick, can I add to that?
And if the police might say, well, this is a civil matter, well, exactly, it could be your officer accept that. This is not Her Majesty's, this is not my car, it's Her Majesty's car, and so it's Her Majesty's money. Her Majesty provided the bills of exchange to cover the cost of you operating her ship, provided you're operating her ship for her benefit, not for you. If you're operating it for your benefit, then you're going to the bank and borrowing money. Those are the choices. And like I said, we have a choice to serve self, or serve the ego, or to serve the spirit. And you can say that that's codified in the Bills of Exchange Act under 1311 and 1312. You can sign this way to say it's yours. You can sign that way to say it belongs to the firm. And sorry, I interrupted. Someone had a question.
Can I add into that, Vic?
Yep.
My nephew, he's with counterterrorism in the RCMP.
Mm-hmm.
So I get lots of great stuff from this guy. We're going to go skate and play hockey tonight. The RCMP, I don't know about the provincial, they are direct employees of Her Majesty.
That's right.
So that's the best guy to call.
That's right. I shared that.
They do know what you're talking about because he does. And they sometimes might be a little reluctant. But if you put it the way you said, that this is to deal with Her Majesty's property, Her Majesty's money, they will take it for sure.
I would say you're right, and it's the RCMP that has a commercial crime division, and I've looked at that the provincial police are looking out for the province's interests at a different level than the RCMP. And again, when we met a couple guys at RCMP there a couple years ago, I think it was Brent and I actually, and we were talking, one guy and another one come over, and he says, is anyone damaging Canada? And I would say if you're damaging Her Majesty, then yeah, you're damaging Canada, and that they have an interest in.
Bingo bango.
And so thank you for that. So that's, I would have no problem doing that. And so it's not just a civil matter. If they're not handing over the money, it can become it's damaging Her Majesty. Now the police have a jurisdiction is the point. If that's the case. If they see that, then, yeah, they got jurisdiction.
Yeah, you just have to direct them. That's it.
Yeah, what are your intentions? Is this your car, sir? If it's your car, well, you might be entitled to the bill of exchange, but you have to take it through the courts, breach
of
contract.
That's a civil matter.
That's right. So to avoid the civil matter, bring in the truth.
Exactly.
Remember, when the principal, if an agent binds a principal, in the principal, but the agent binds the principal without proper authority, the principal by refusing to accept delivery of the benefit is free of liability. So the same goes in reverse for the agent. If the agent sides in the capacity of an agent, because he's not receiving the benefit, he is free of any liability. So again, the thing is you got to keep in mind here, and don't be ashamed to say it. Just make it part of the conversation. We're appropriate. The thing is, though, at the end of the day, it comes down to the signature, and no one is under an obligation to say I'm buying on behalf of a firm here. It is required to disclose it on the signature, and that's the extent of it. So you can just keep your mouth shut and just say, put the name on like this and sign the way you do, and that's the end of that. But it's disclosed, and if they thought they were doing business with you, it doesn't matter what's in the signature does. It's right in the commercial law, mercantile law book of 1913. There's no obligation to tell the party you're doing business with who they're doing business with. If you don't want to bind yourself, just make sure that's in the signature area. Otherwise, if it just has a signature, you're on the hook. That's what it says in the law. 131 Bills of Exchange. 1311. So that's the choice. If you sign 1311, you're basically saying this is for me. If you sign 1312, you're saying it's not for me. So you're not getting the benefit. Some other party is.
So for the signature, you would write it just the way it is in the firm's name?
Nope.
I've sent out
a number of emails on the subject on how to, with the signature, and like I said, per, then the signature for the firm. At the top of the, as it says, Beck Victor on the top of the contract, and just sign down below per signature for the firm. That's the buyer.
When you say for the firm, you mean to put the name of the firm down?
Oh.
No. The words for the firm.
Okay.
F-O-R, next word, capital F, I-R-F, I-R-M. For the firm. you do it the way, the main thing here to understand, folks, is you're disclosing your capacity. How you do it your way so it's coming from you, so that if you're asked or challenged or resisted, you have the answers. It's really, really simple. You could put general agent. Okay, if you want to put general agent, then just know what that means. Well, I got the license to do this as evidenced by the fact I bound myself into contracts in the name of Her Majesty all these years, and I'm not doing that anymore, and so now I'm binding Her Majesty, and that's just the way it is. I have wanton authority here, and I'm the general authority, and you are a special authority, and so that's the way Your Majesty set it up. So what do we do? My license didn't come with any limitations. Did yours? did yours say you can tell the one with general authority he can't do that? Oh, that's okay. You want to talk to your supervisor? Go on up to your principal. Again, know who you are here, but also know that the agents are actually part of your own reality, your own creation. They're part. Love it all. Love it from beginning to end, and don't be a resistor in the equation. If they're saying something or saying they can't do something, rather than make them do something they can't do, just work with it. It's really simple. Get the name on there and get the signature on there properly. If you can't get the name on, if they can't for some reason get the name on there the way you want it on there, then have it agreed that it's the intent of the parties that the name on the account is off the birth certificate. So there's the connection. So, in law, A can be C. Up can be down. As long as it's agreed upon, anything goes. So. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if the lower agents, even with the car dealer, and here's another thing to take into your equation here. Although you're thinking, okay, yep, I know how to go and buy a car now, and I'm going to make these guys really happy and tell them all kinds of good things to make them really happy. But what happens if you don't come through? How would you feel? You get all pumped up and then the guy doesn't come through. So you know what? Just go with the flow and just do things like normal and don't pump everyone up. Once you've got something approved, then feel free to do that. But up until that point, I wouldn't get to, get everyone all pumped up that they're going to sell lots of cars and this and that and the other thing when you haven't actually done it yet. And there might be a letdown. So have compassion in that sense. Think about it. Again, which perspective are we coming from here, the ego mind or the spirit? And I don't think there's any doubt that the system is very aware of the viewpoints. In other words, he's acting like this is for the firm, but man, he's taking it awfully personal. Other questions? Points? Anything anyone has to add? Because, so anyhow, I will be going out to myself and doing a couple contracts. I got one done already, but one large one, large value, let's say. And going to get it all done up. And, of course, the lawyer will get a copy. The broker will get a copy. I will have a copy. The vendor will likely have a copy. And there will be a copy going downtown. And all that's going to be in evidence. There won't be any mention of me. There won't be any upper lowercase Victor Beck. It'll all be Beck Victor. It'll all be pointing in at the back what all is the statement of birth, so that everything on top of that is all just on top of that one foundation document. So here's where we are now at the top, and it began back here at the statement of birth. And you guys hold this thing, so we're just asking in this name here that you satisfy the expectations of the vendors here. And it's all coming from the firm, so obviously everything's being done for the firm. So now it's not being done for you or me. And for myself, that's how I see doing this thing, to get to solidify something. I'm also in the position to do a car thing, and either deal with that in one of two ways: to send that downtown, or to hang tight with the dealer and get the bill of exchange. You know, the thing is, that bill of exchange is the money. It is money, no doubt about that. But it's not your money. You know, it remedies the firm, and you as the captain goes along for the ride. But it's not your money. And it's not the dealer's money either. Once that contract is done, then it's not their money. And when they call you to take delivery, that money should be there. Just like Roger Elvick said years ago, they should be handing you the check. And again, when I called downtown Toronto and talked to the lawyer at the Attorney General's office about that bill of exchange, the first thing out of his mouth without hesitation was, that's the check. So, in any case, think about what you're doing and know why you're doing it, and think about the other parties that you're talking with and what is it they need to know. And don't say any more than need be said, and don't pump them up, and don't tell lies and tell stories and anything that's misleading. Just do what you got to do. And the fact of the matter is, you're not lying to say your title. If it comes down to it, the Majesty holds title in this, not me. And you won't find my signature on any of this. I have the authority to do what I'm doing, and just do it.
So would Her Majesty be able to take that property away from you?
I'm sorry?
Would Her Majesty be able to come in and have you removed from that property, or...
The birth certificate is also proof of your equitable consideration, so the answer is no.
Okay.
They have the legal title, and we have the equitable interest. This is the whole thing. The equitable interest is the positive side, and the legal interest is the negative side, if you want to look at it that way.
Okay.
And so by separating the two, then the two can be dealt with. Right now, we're sitting with the equitable and the legal, if you will, even though someone else behind the scenes holds the legal title to the situation. But because of the way we're acting, it's okay. You want to own it, then then the cost of ownership comes with it, which is what the law says. You're the one to pay. So by doing the agency thing, is creating a separation, so that now we have, instead of where there was the one, there is now two. One is a plus, one is a minus. But now that we can see the plus and the minus, we can bring it together to do the set off, basically, each and every time.
Yeah, add to that, Vic, that they need the legal title, because that's where they gain their equity from. They don't want the bike, the car, the house. There's nothing they can do with it.
No, that's right. That's not the purpose either.
That's why my sister was the vice president of CIPC, and she said when they foreclosed on houses, they don't want the house. They just want the equitable of it. That's it.
Yep.
They can do nothing with the lumber, the wire, and it means nothing to them.
That's right. It's form versus substance, and they're on the form side of the fence, and we're on the substance side of the fence. But right now things are a little bit blended, because the straw man, which is form, and the man, which is substance, so to say, is right now the plus and the minus. That's all they see in the account, just one. Now when you do the agency thing, now there's two. You see, so now they can see the plus and the minus.
Yeah, well, that's why I think people are fearing that they're going to lose the stuff. The stuff means nothing to them. It is just the number value that's attached to it. And you can surrender that and just let it go, folks. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. And it's not like they don't know that we're the ones that are building the stuff. We're not the source energy for that.
That's not hard to prove either.
No, that's right. And so there's no need to prove it. It's common knowledge if you really think about it, or should be.
I've always told them, I said, here, you know, here's a General Motors book. Throw it on the ground. Build me a car.
Yep.
It doesn't do much.
That's right. Done the same thing. Although I had lawyers purple in the face arguing that that's a General Motors car.
bring me General Motors, and I want to watch how he does it.
Yeah, but that's just where they were at the time, and that's, you know, I was resistant to. That was probably about 5 years ago, but in any case. So, yeah, it's when you're, as it is now by signing as under 1311, the creditor and the debtor are basically on the account as one. And so they see the debt, and then they go to that party to get the credits. And when you sign as the agent in the agency thing, then now there's two. Now we see the debt, and we see where the credit is. Essentially, and because we are the source of the equity, and however, we're not the source. We're also the cause of the debt, but because we have the equity, now that the two are separated, the two can be brought back together and settle the account at point of sale.
Yeah, they still cancel each other out instantly.
Instantly. And as long as there's no debts, no one has an interest. And but the other thing is now that you're doing it for Majesty's. I'm not sure if he's still on the call here, but it was mentioned on a phone call recently to me. Someone remembers having a conversation with the real estate agent where that the property was actually being registered in the name Her Majesty. And I know no more details than that, other than that the real estate guy found it strange. And so, again, you know, if you look at this, if the property is registered in the name Her Majesty is not taxable. And that includes money, what you would call income taxes, property taxes. Money itself is a tax. And so, basically, Her Majesty is not moneyable. So that's just why that bill of exchange, which is just a thing to exchange hands to evidence the account, the transaction, and the release of the legal and the equitable title to the corresponding parties, and where it all went for discharge and grounding the debts and all that stuff for charges, and so it just becomes an accounting instrument, not
yeah,
money.
Exactly.
In the,
I think you could call it a transfer instrument because the minute it's endorsed, that's it. The transfer begins.
Well, that's right. It's on its voyage negotiation. It's now a valid contract, and
yeah, you energize it, they energize it, and off she goes.
Yep. And the thing is to keep in mind, we energize it in the first place because we're the ones that provide the goods and services in the first place. It leads to the billing, right?
That's right. And especially when you pledge it to the Treasury, you're not hurting nobody.
Well, that's right. So, you know, it starts with us as a plus. Then it goes with us as the draw that creates the minus, and it comes back to us, and we can give it the plus again. So it's like a plus, minus, plus, minus, plus, minus. As long as that's happening, everything's good. You need the plus, minus, because without it, you'd only have plus or minus, and there wouldn't be any flow of anything.
Or no balance.
That's right. And this universe requires balance. It's inescapable. And understand that. So there has to be, this is the thing, when you see one name on an account and know nothing to indicate that there's two parties here, then there is a single, and there's no way to balance it without going back to the same party.
Mm-hmm.
And the system's simply not set up that way. So it's had to compensate for that, and that's basically when Neo didn't function properly, then Smith had to become... Just had to go into dysfunction mode. In other words, he was just a mirror image of Neo, and Neo was not honoring the law in any sense, so neither was Smith.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a choice. You want to be an asshole in front of the law? The law can be an asshole in front of you.
A mirror.
Well, exactly.
Mirror image.
That's right.
Okay.
Everything that's happening is a reflection of yourself, so...
Yep.
Just accept that and don't resist it, and work with yourself. You know, how do I get for myself what I want? Ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Create the world you want.
Yep.
Yep.
Here,
another way to not
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if there's no more questions, I'm going to get going here. If there are, let's have the question.
No, I was just going to say another way not to be an asshole is don't eat rump roast.
Thanks, Bruce.
No problem.
Okay. What about those,
what about those
cowboy steaks?
Yeah.
Thanks, Bit.
Thanks
again.
For your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah, that was
great.
Thanks,
man.
Rick.
Take care, everyone.
Have a good night.
Likewise.
Talk to you soon.